everybody. Welcome to the Overseas Connection, episode 130.
130!
Yeah, 130. Pew, 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 pew. Today is August 23rd, 2011, and indeed we are the official podcast of the G4TE.com community.
Official. Sorry.
And we're full of energy.
Vigor
and energy.
Machine guns.
Vigor, energy, and machine guns. And whatever
and
that was. Hey,
lasers.
Yeah, I'm your host, Greg DeLacy, Gamertag, Murphy's Law, and joining me today.
What was that?
In the sound effects booth number one, Mr. Mike Chin.
Hello. What up?
Boom. Boom.
Do we need to give out Gamertags anymore?
We should. We don't have to, I suppose.
Just, you know. Yeah. It's one of them, isn't it?
I thought I'd throw my old intro in there for the fans.
Everybody's appreciative of that.
I'm sure no one remembers
Christopher
that.
Christopher Matthew. Yes. That's sound effects booth number two.
Hello.
Christopher Matthew.
Hi, everybody. Mike didn't give his gamer tag, so I'm not giving mine either.
I don't blame you guys, because I wouldn't want to give out Chinchini or CPM1376 either.
He just owned us.
Damn. So it's just the three of us. Just three sad, lonely souls this
just
week.
Just the three of us.
So
it's going to be one of those shows.
Richie's not here, is he?
No. Rich has packed away his headset, doesn't have internet until September, I believe, 5th.
And you know what that means?
He's moving, right, which means September 10th about, he'll probably come back to the show.
It means this.
That is the celebratory no sleeping bag sound music.
Yes, we are zipper free this week, at least as far as we know. I guess, guys, we just can move forward and jump into what we've been playing.
Sweet.
Yay.
What you been playing? What you been playing? What you been playing?
All right, so what we've been playing, Mike, why don't we start off with you? What All have right. you been playing?
So I've been playing...
You've been playing the sound effects, man.
God, I feel like I'm podcasting with Duke now. I've been playing... Infamous.
Would you say that you might have finished Infamous?
I finished it.
Would you say that I have it? Sorry. Every time you say Infamous, all I can think of is the Three Amigos with the... He's better than famous. Anyway, move on. Sorry.
That's okay. So what'd you think, Mike? Worth all the hype? Worth the sequel?
That game is good. That game is a good game.
It's a good game?
Good game, yeah, I liked it. It was it's good. It's got a great ending. I really like the ending. A little twist at the end, you know.
Okay.
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was very strong. I liked it. I liked it a lot, and I recommend it. And I'm looking forward to the sequel. Really am. I haven't really played anything else, I'm afraid. So, but the ending was it shocked me really, because it's a game that you don't really pay attention to, like with the story. And I was like, oh man, I should have been paying attention. This has got quite a cool story, and some of the characters are interesting. And like, I really like the character Zeke, who's like your partner, but he gets really jealous when you've got superpowers. So he starts doing stupid things to try and kind of become a superhero. And obviously, like, sometimes they have bad consequences. So yeah, it's interesting. Really interesting. Liked it. Liked it a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, and the powers are great as well. Powers are really good.
Now, I know we were talking last week about the whole choices business.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you weren't as keen on the choices last week. Did that kind of change as the game moved along?
No, not really. But look, those are the choices on the side missions and stuff, like where they're just kind of throwaway missions. And it's like, you know, shoot on someone's face or help them up off the floor. All right, it was like really weird. But like the choices towards the end are a little bit like there's ones where Zeke does something and you can kind of like go two ways on that, and yeah, it's cool, and it kind of gives you like the whole thing from a different perspective at the end, and it like not a different character or anything, but it twists things now and again, and just enough and to kind of keep you going, and I'm pumped for the second one because I really liked it. Because technically it's a bit rough, you know, the animation, the draw distances and stuff. So that it's a bit rough, but it's their first game, you know, like in this genre. Like so, you got to give them some slack. And I've heard the second one technically is a lot better.
Yeah, I've actually dabbled in both, and I will say the second one feels much more polished.
Polished.
Like you can tell they had a better budget for that game.
Yep.
And I think you will enjoy Infamous 2.
Good.
Even
good.
More. Yeah.
Very good.
All yeah. right.
That's it. I have got James Bond Bloodstone to play and Call of Where is the Cartel, which I've heard is terrible.
Yeah. I'm not sure if we should be excited or feeling sorry for you at this point.
Yeah. I have been trying to play Red River. I have given up trying to play with my friend Marsh because he keeps kicking me out. So I'm just going to play with anyone now. So I know I didn't.
Is that the cue for Chris to join you and play?
I saw his hit on me on Twitter the other day, but I was not on my computer.
Been trying.
Yeah, well, you know, once I'm on there, I'll play. It's just a fucking pain in the ass. For some reason, it just doesn't want me and Marsh to play together. So I have suggested to Marsh we try something else in co-op and see if it's our connection. It's just us two, and we've just, you know, the Montagues and Capulets, and we're better not to be together. Or it is that game. I'm not sure.
Maybe you guys can get Homefront.
He loves Homefront. He has it. Like, he already has
we
it.
We should all play Homefront together.
Yes.
Yeah. We'll get more into more of that later. All right, that's Chris. Yeah, let's move on to Chris here. Chris.
Greg.
Let's talk games.
Yes. I've been playing Dirt 3 and Operation Flashpoint Red River, which is probably no surprise if you've listened to the last five shows. And I picked up Toy Soldiers Cold War, and I've been playing that.
Let's talk some Toy Soldier Cold War.
It's pretty cool. I'm liking it. Yeah, it's fun.
Let me ask you. I was going to ask you. I know they classify it as a tower defense, but I kind of find myself having a hard time viewing it as a true tower defense game. It feels tower defense light at times.
Well, so it's very much in the vein of Trenched. So it's like a tower defense game in that you have waves of enemies that follow a specified route to try to get to your base, right?
Right.
But then similar to Trenched, you have many options as to how you will lay it out. Now, it's a little bit more constrictive than Trenched because you can only put your turrets in certain locations, right?
Right.
Whereas in Trenched, you can put them wherever you want. But then it adds in, you know, Trenched had the mechs that were available all the time. This one adds in battery-powered vehicles that you can go drive around. So that's cool. Although I find it funny, if you look closely, the battery-powered vehicles have wind-ups on the side of them. I don't really know why.
Yeah, there are some curious things the game does. I mean, and not to take away from it, because I'm actually enjoying it as well. But I find it funny that they've actually tried to wrap in this narrative. As each mission unfolds, they kind of give you this backstory to the mission at hand. And it's like they're trying to portray this as somehow a real-world event. And
well, I don't know about a real world event. I think it's kind of they're making it a parody of every 80s the Russians are going to come kill us all movie that was made in America. You know, it's Red Dawn, it's Rambo, it's Top Gun, it's all of that. So yeah, I don't know. I don't buy that they're trying to make it a real world event. They're certainly trying to put a narrative to it.
Yeah, I just didn't think the narrative needed to be there. I guess that's where I was going with it.
And I guess I guess I would agree with you, except that I think the narrative is kind of a nice little add on to it, if you will, because the game really is a parody of all those 80s action movies. Adding that in there kind of builds that up a little bit, I guess. You know what I'm saying? That's what I think.
Well, fair enough. So, I mean, if you had one criticism of the game, what would that be?
You know, I would have it perfect. So that it's not, certainly not perfect. I don't know in the execution of the game if I would change a lot. I mean, it looks nice. The controls are fairly straightforward. A couple of them that can be a little bit confusing. But it's, you know, it's pretty pick up. You can pick it up and play. It's pretty self-explanatory. I would allow for some method of altering the path of the enemies to your advantage. Because the enemies are going to follow whatever path they're going to follow, and there's nothing you can do about it other than kill them.
Yeah, so on that line of thought, one thing that I noticed is missing from this game, unless I have completely missed it myself, in the original Toy Soldier, you could lay down like barbed wire fence. Yeah. And in this game, that's completely apparently gone.
I didn't see it in the tutorial level, so unless it's somewhere else, unless it's something I haven't figured out. The other one I haven't figured out yet is artillery pieces. Apparently there's a way you can orient the artillery in any one of the four cardinal directions, but I haven't figured out how to do so.
Shoulder buttons. Shoulder buttons, left, pesky, right.
Pesky shoulder buttons. I'll have to remember that. That might make my artillery more effective in the future.
It certainly helped mine. So, you know, the only other thing that I can say, and it only happens once in a while, is I have found that the camera can be a little wonky. It'll get caught up behind actual buildings to where you can't see.
Yeah, that's I did notice that on the. Have you played the mission that's in Seattle, but they don't call it Seattle?
Yes. Yet? Yeah.
I had that happen. I was driving the tank, and all of a sudden the camera got caught up behind the mill vans.
Right.
That's quickly remedied by destroying the mill vans. But
yeah, that's always a good way to go about it.
Still happens.
Yeah, I do like that all the buildings for the most part are destructible.
Yeah.
And then this was something I did not know up until just recently. I heard somebody else talking about it, but there are collectibles located on the map that you can go and find. And I was not aware of this. I don't know if you were, but supposedly there are little collectibles all around the map.
I was not. I'm assuming that's something other than the batteries.
I would assume as well, but hey, who knows? Maybe it is the batteries.
The other thing, and maybe I'm sure this is done on purpose, because the vehicles that you get to control are very powerful.
Yes.
So of course the battery's there to kind of limit your use of it, but I wish the batteries would respawn at a slightly faster rate.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
Well, especially in the missions where you're using an aircraft. It's fairly easy to get the tank or the fighting vehicle back on its charging platform, and even the helicopter is pretty easy. But the one mission where you have the F-14, I pretty much found myself flying it around, gathering up as many batteries as I could to keep flying it, and then eventually I just have to crash it, and it takes a long time for it to be usable again when it crashes.
Yeah.
So,
I actually,
in fact, in the mission I'm playing right now, I crashed the helicopter, and now I don't have a helicopter. It never came back. So. That's not cool.
I actually, you know, this is I think probably my only other gripe, and it's on the normal level of difficulty, this game feels easy. And what I'm finding is it's the vehicles feel overpowered.
Yeah.
To the point that you almost don't even need you still need to worry about your artillery placements and your machine gun nests, but once you have everything set up, you can pretty much run the table on the map fairly easily, especially utilizing a tank or a helicopter in those missions. They are just extremely powerful.
And helicopters are loads of fun, aren't they?
Oh, my gosh, yes. So I almost wish they weren't as powerful, though. I wish they did a little bit less damage, to where this way you would have to rely on managing your placements a little bit more. But I'm hoping by increasing the level difficulty that will,
will
come with it.
I find even on the normal difficulty, I can't rely entirely on the vehicle. I have to, I'll use the vehicle for waves in which I think I don't have enough turrets, and then I'll go back to managing my turrets and repairing and upgrading.
Yeah.
So, Yeah, it's good.
Would you recommend it for the price? Would you?
I would. Yeah. It seems a bit short. I'm on the second to last mission already, and I just started playing it yesterday. But I have yet to get into the multiplayer and the co-op modes, so that might add to it a little bit.
Yeah, I'm very curious about the versus mode.
Yeah, and then I have yet to try. I've only been playing it on the normal difficulty. I have yet to go back and try to play it on harder difficulty, and also go back to get all the secondary objectives, some of which are actually a little bit challenging.
Okay. Yeah, but I would say especially if you liked a game like Trenched, this feels like another good game in that same kind of vein.
Yeah, and it is a marked improvement over the first one.
Yeah, and I it's funny because I don't quite know what they did to tweak it, but it just feels better. But the controls all seem like they control the same.
You know what the big difference is? You aim with the right stick. That was the biggest difference to me. When you're driving a vehicle, you move with the left stick and you aim with the right stick. That's just the way things ought to be.
Okay. Yeah. No, I didn't even think about that. But yeah, no, you're absolutely right. So there we go. Toy Soldiers, Cold War. Go out, get it, buy it. We'll play.
You wanted a war. You got a war.
Oh yeah, the little Rambo character. He is priceless.
Rambo dude is funny. Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess we should talk real fast about that. In the course of playing the game, as you rack up kills, and this is something also I just learned, that as you're manning a turret, if you get a 40 times kill, basically you kill 40 enemies in a row, you'll earn a barrage. And the barrage will come in a bunch of different forms of like a Rambo action figure that drops down out of the sky and is in packaging, and the packaging kind of explodes and he pops out and just starts kicking ass. You'll get like an airstrike, an artillery barrage, and I think there's another one that comes later on, like a nuclear strike or something to that effect.
Well, you get the nuclear strike, you get the carpet bomb, you get the artillery barrage, you get the AC-130 gunship.
That's right, the gunship, yeah.
And I think the commando, I think those are the ones. The AC-130 gunship is fun. It's exactly like the AC-130 in Modern Warfare 2.
Yeah.
Same controls, same three guns.
Yep. But so in the course of doing the barrage, what I also found out is if you use the D-pad to switch your turrets, so let's say you're on a machine gun nest on one side and you're running out of enemies and you've racked up, say, 20 kills, you can use your D-pad to move to a different gun turret and it will not break your combo string.
All right.
And you can continue on and still rack up to get your 40. If you exit out with your thumbsticks,
yeah,
it will break your combo.
All right. I didn't know that. That's good to know. You can also earn a barrage by killing the Red Star units. That's a quick way to earn a barrage.
I did not know that either. We are learning. Listen to this. Right. Craziness.
I'm learning. I have no idea what you're talking about until I play it. So
you should play it.
Yeah, I will. But
at least play the demo.
Yeah, the demo.
No, I will. Like, I love nothing. These types of games. Yeah, I love these types of games. But I just haven't got around to it. I didn't mean to, but no.
Yeah, I think you will love the Rambo character, Mike.
Cool.
He is funny. All right, Chris, anything else?
No.
Okay.
I did.
See, you lied to me, didn't you?
No, I didn't lie to you. I forgot to mention. On Dirt 3, I still hate Gymkhana. But I did manage to go back and earn a platinum medal on all the Gymkhana Academy missions, which took a long time and was only worth 20 gamer score, and I somehow felt violated after it. And then I went through and silvered all the Gymkhana challenges, and I don't think I'm going to go back and try to get platinum on those because it's just too painful.
Okay.
I lack the requisite skills.
But most importantly, you still hate Gymkhana.
I still hate Gymkhana. Like, Dirt 3 is brilliant. The racing, awesome. But the Gymkhana, although I did find one thing I hate more than Gymkhana, and that is a rallycross race in the snow.
Yeah, those are challenging.
Well, the problem is, no matter what, so like in Forza 3, you, at the beginning, you're always starting in the back of the pack. But once you level up a bit and you have a good car, you get to start at the front of the pack. Well, in Dirt 3, you always start either fifth or lower at the beginning of the race, no matter what.
Right.
And in the snow races, at the beginning, the other cars kicking up all the snow, you can't see what the heck's going on. And there's the bonus objective to finish the race without damage. It's like, yeah, I can finish the race without damage when I can't see anything. So anyway.
Okay.
This is my my 2 cents on that one.
Well, thank you for that. Let's see. For me, we already talked about Toy Soldier Cold War. I continued the Fruit Ninja Attack, Fruit Ninja Connect. Still just fun. Just a very fun game. Easy pick up and play.
You still accepting that check from Microsoft, huh? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Cashed it just yesterday. Yes. Captain America. I finally finished it.
Captain America.
I finally looked at my my shelf. I saw the disc sitting there, and I was just like, I got to get this off my GameFly. So I went through, played the rest of it. You know what? It is a decent action brawler game in the likes of Batman.
Yeah,
certainly worth playing. I wouldn't say worth buying, but certainly if you wanted to rent something that was kind of Batman-esque, it definitely is fun. The voice acting was all good enough. So, yeah, it worked.
Cool.
Let's see what else on the list. Well, a little more Homefront was in the works and then quickly fell apart. So I was going to play in the Sunday play date. And unfortunately, because of the time frame that was picked for the Sunday play date,
yeah,
just did not coincide well with what we had planned for the family. Yeah.
Family. All right. Okay.
Yeah.
That one. Playing that card.
I
got nothing.
I know. I had to.
I wasn't even there myself, Greg. So.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Play Homefront, get divorced. I'm just saying. There were choices to be made. I debated for a while, let me tell you.
You're not a real man.
And then last but not least, Deus Ex Human Revolution. Got it in today. I have played through the opening tutorial. So I'm not going to give any spoilers out, so it's not going to ruin anybody's game. You know, the intro is probably about, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes long. It kind of just sets up how your character gets his augmentation and, you know, kind of sets up the beginning of the story nicely. The game looks good. Not great. It's not going to be, you know, game of the year based on graphics. But this game has excellent voice acting. You know, everybody comes across so far very believable in their delivery of their lines. I know there's been some criticism a little bit about, you know, the voice sync in terms of, you know, how the characters look when
that's
they're
talking.
That's
always been a problem in Deus Ex, though.
Yeah.
Voice sync.
And honestly, I look at it as, you know, the voice sync is a little more akin to maybe kind of some of the first generation Xbox 360 and PS3 titles. You know, they weren't fantastic with the voice work and syncing, but it's certainly passable enough to where it doesn't bother me at all. And the story so far is intriguing. I love just the atmosphere, the look.
How far into it are you?
Like I said, only probably 15, 20 minutes. Literally played the opening tutorial. And it plays kind of like a lot of games do now. So
I'm really excited for it. I can't wait for Deus Ex.
Yeah, so it dives you into the game a little bit in terms of, you know, sets up the tutorial, teaches you a little bit of the controls, and then it opens up into kind of an intro, you know, the intro credits, you know, almost like a movie where you have that opening scene and then suddenly you have the title screen appear.
Gotcha.
Very similar to that. But it all looks great.
Like Assassin's Creed.
Yeah. And if this game can keep this level going through, you know, the interactivity, the controls all feel really tight and work really well. This game absolutely, I think, could and deservedly be up in mention when we say Game of the Year.
Wow.
It is an exceptionally good game, at least so far. And I know, way early to be judging and saying
15
that.
15 minutes and you're talking about Game of the Year. Come on, Greg.
Well, you know, sometimes you get that gut feeling when you start playing a game. No, you're like, this is going to be special.
Presentation, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's all how that game sells itself to you. And like when you play like a polished game like Dead Space or Uncharted, and you get in it and you're like, it's got me. Like, yep. Straight away it's got me, and you know. So, yeah, I totally get it. I have to play Bloodstone, James Bond Bloodstone, to so I can post it back and then get this game. So I'm going to nail that game.
Yeah,
Friday,
I think
so
you should just play through it and get your love film in order, because you are going to want to play this game.
Yeah, I really do.
And it seems like they cover a lot of very, you know, interesting, finite details. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of games where someone gives you a code and it's like, okay, you know, they give you the code, but, you know, you don't have to really input it. Unless I missed something in this game, I was given a code. I had to remember it, or at least there was no prompt saying, oh, this is the code again. Mm-hmm. I had to go through it. You know, it was just all.
Wasn't it like your PDA or whatever they have?
It might have been. Unfortunately, the time between getting that code and having to use that code was very short. So, I mean, it was fresh on the memory. But, yeah. I mean, if you hadn't paid attention, you might – I don't know how the game would have handled that. You may have had to go back to the other character and say, what was that
code? I remember the days, like in PS2, where you was given a code or something and you had to remember it. Like you had to like write it down somewhere. Otherwise, you would not be able to progress.
Yeah. So
– those were the days.
Well, I'm kind of hopeful they're returning back to this.
Cool.
The little bit of combat that I've experienced, it all feels very solid. I like the cover mechanic, the way they've introduced it. It very much is Rainbow Vegas 2, or Rainbow Six Vegas 2, and it's a first-person shooter until you go into cover, and then you're in third-person view.
Okay, cool.
And you can lean around, shoot over cover, and then they have the quick movement. So let's say you have a gap between you and the next piece of cover. As long as you're pushing, say, you know, left on the thumbstick, and then you hit A, he'll do the SWAT move over to the other piece of cover.
Gotcha.
And it all feels really, really solid. So
it's all feels slick.
Yeah. It feels polished. I mean, the only true thing I could say is, you know, some of the graphics, not, you know, again, it's not 10 out of 10 in terms of graphics. I would put this as like an 8.0 in graphics, but everything else, the look, the vibe, the sounds, it all is like up there. So,
all right.
Yeah, and 8.0 is nothing to slouch about either.
This 8.0 is good.
Yeah, it's feeling like the complete package. So very I'm good. Excited to jump in and play more. In fact, I really didn't want a podcast today.
I thought I was podcasting. I was like, oh, dude, man, I'd rather play games than podcast.
You're not supposed to tell them that, Greg.
I know. But it's that good. So,
meh.
All right. Well, enough of that. I think maybe now we can jump into some new releases and talk about that. All right. New releases. Almost feels old school. On the Wii this week, Mario Strikers Charged. Yeah, it's the old Nintendo Selects coming out this week. Punch-Out also hitting the Nintendo Selects this week. And then we have Super Mario Galaxy and Super Paper Mario. Both part of the Nintendo Selects. All basically budget titles for $20. And that's it for the Wii. Still, not a lot of love coming out for the Wii right now. On the PS3 this week, Deus Ex Human Revolution hits the store shelves. PSN games, there is a bevy. There's Comic Zone, Hamilton's Great Adventure, Parasite Eve 2, and Street Fighter 3 Third Strike Online Edition. Also, on the minis front, we've got Fighting Fantasy Talisman of Death and Hysteria Project 2. And last, but certainly not least, some demos. Body Count, Hamilton's Great Adventures demo, NHL 12, and Warhammer 40,000 Space Marine all hit the PSN for free demos. And moving right along to the Xbox 360, we've got Deus Ex Human Revolution. And then Xbox Live Arcade this week, Street Fighter 3 Third Strike Online Edition. And demos we already talked about, Body Count, NHL 12, and Warhammer 40,000 Space Marine, all out on Xbox Live Arcade. I should mention, I played Body Count. It's the last time I will play Body Count. That's all I have to say about that. Not impressed. DLC this week, Call of Duty Black Ops Resurrection. This is the zombie DLC map pack. By the way, if you have, I believe it's kind of one of the Call of Duty Black Ops limited special Wazoo editions that you paid more than probably $100 for. You actually can get this DLC for free. So you've actually already kind of got that. So just wanted to bring that up. And then in terms of some deals of the week this week on Xbox Live Arcade, it's Epic Week, if you will. You got some Bulletstorm going on. Bulletstorm, Guns of Sonata DLC pack, basically half price. Their Symphony DLC pack, half price. Red Faction Battlegrounds, yeah, that great game, half price. And Deniable Ops Insurgency map pack for Splinter Cell Conviction, only 400 Microsoft points. And then last but not least, Hydrophobia is getting some more love, and it is now down to 400 points. Might be worth checking out of it. It certainly wasn't at 800. And that is it for the new releases.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
All right, so news this week. Mike.
Yo.
PlayStation Home.
Yeah, everybody's on it. Woo-hoo. You're on it, I'm on it, Chris is on it. Everybody's on it. Like, that's where the internet happened. That's where Jesus was reborn. Everything, all going on at home. Well, what's up?
All right, so we I think all can safely agree that so far PlayStation Home hasn't exactly been something we have really wanted to take part in.
Yep.
True statement.
Yeah. True. If I were to tell you there was a questing system, would that make you maybe a little more interested?
I would not be excited about that at all.
Does this answer your question, Greg? No?
Mm.
I really want to say, is Duke on the podcast?
what is the questing? So you have to go out and harass like 7 people? Like,
yes, you have to go out and grief as many people as you can.
I tried Home once, right? Like when it first came out. Then I went walking into the little common area or whatever, and somebody walked up and typed hello to me, and I was like, this is really weird, and I left. That was it. Yeah, not something I'm really fired up about.
Yeah, so, okay. Here's the official statement, and I don't really know quite how the quest will truly work. Maybe it'll be revealed in this, but it basically says this. The new hub integrates games, quests, community events, and user-generated content while providing players with additional navigation, shopping, socialization, and entertainment options.
Navigation.
Yeah.
Now, Home would be awesome. Okay, let me correct that statement. Home would be tolerable if, like, I could get a car and go in that little plaza and run people over.
Yeah.
That would be sweet.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe the quest system will provide that for you.
Wouldn't that be awesome? Or like you can go in a shop and get a, just get some weapons and instigate a melee.
Yeah. That says more about your personality than
well, you're playing games, man. Let's be honest, right? Hey. Games are violent. Okay? Even Mario, the champion of family games, is violent, right?
A mass murderer.
He's always crushing people under his boots. So, yeah, man, gamers want to destroy shit. So gamers want to destroy stuff. So let's destroy stuff.
So, okay, getting back on track here.
Oh, I see.
So the quest system, basically there's going to be the hub world where the players can go over to an activity board and check on quests or create their own events, share them with their friends. All sounds kind of cool. And then outside this hub area, there's going to be 4 main areas. There's going to be an action district, a sports walk, an adventure district, and a pier park. Yeah. So the action district is for quote-unquote action gamers, and the adventure district caters more towards adventuring-type gamers. The pier park apparently is just a recreation of a theme park with rides and games, and, of course, the sports walk would be sports themed. I don't know how this is all going to play out. Like I said, it's pretty much
on it so far, Greg.
I'm not even sold on it so far. I have to admit, it is an interesting idea to think that there would be a questing system. But again, this is starting to sound very much like a big MMO, and maybe that's not a bad thing. You know, You go in, you quest, you level up, you get stuff. A lot of people like that. You know?
Yeah.
It's free.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, there are people on it, but I don't know. I mean, so far,
for the most part, it's just been people going in there, griefing and or socializing with one another and trying to figure out if the chick they're talking to is actually really a chick. But this could make PlayStation Home a little more viable. I play as a chick. Anyway.
Oh no,
he's got... Anyway, let's move on. Next news story. Again, Mike, this is right up your alley. Driver San Francisco. I know you were excited for this game.
Yeah, I'm excited for Game of the Year, yeah.
Yeah. Well, guess what? You're going to be able to download it, PSN style. On release. You don't even have to go to the store to buy it. You don't even have to drive to get Driver.
Cool.
Yeah. It is unclear if it's going to be the same for Xbox Live, if it's going to be a Games on Demand launch. My guess is probably not.
Probably not.
Yeah,
but
PSN...
Eventually, though.
But PlayStation's been pretty good about, at least on a few titles, being kind of day-and-date release on PSN as well as to the retail stores. My only question is, what is the cost? Is it going to be cheaper than actually going to the store, or is it going to be the same cost? And I don't have an answer for that.
No. It'd probably be the same.
Yeah.
Like, knowing the patterns and stuff, it's probably the same price.
Probably.
When will they learn?
Speaking of pricing, Chris, what happens when you give a price break to a console?
People buy more of them.
They do. They do indeed. In fact, so many that the UK has experienced a 60% increase in PS3 sales. Since they announced the price drop.
Totally inappropriate. does that include sales of pilfered consoles?
No, I would imagine those figures are not part of that.
All right, fine.
I think the interesting thing to note is while the PS3 only saw, and I say only saw, a 60% increase in the UK, here in the US, Amazon was reporting a 400% increase.
Damn.
So clearly some gamers out there are taking advantage of the newly reduced price. There are rumors that now Microsoft is in fact dropping their console prices by $50 and the Kinect camera down to $100. But that has not been officially made known.
I thought the Kinect was down to 100.
I think it's been down to 129. At least 129 US.
All right. I'm just going to do some Googling and see how much it is in the UK.
Why don't you do that? We'll move on to the next story in the meantime. You know, this actually saddens me. You know, anytime I hear about a studio getting shut down, it's sad.
Ugh, damn it.
But, Bedlam Games, they were the minds behind the D&D Daggerdale game, which I really, really wanted to be great, and it just wasn't.
It was awful.
Yeah. They're pretty much done. About 90% of the staff has been officially on temporary layoff.
Damn.
Which is
you never know. They could hold on to that dream.
Yeah. Well, even sadder, no severance pay apparently. So that's really harsh. That's rough. Yes. But apparently, per the story, most of the people have already found employment elsewhere. So that at least is a good thing.
Yeah. Well.
Chris.
By the way, a Kinect in the UK is £100. Done.
Hey. £100 in the UK. So maybe they're just kind of carrying over that price drop into the US moving forward. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Yeah. But Chris, Gran Turismo 5, pretty highly touted game.
Yeah, there's a lot of people fired up about it.
Yeah. Gran Turismo 6. Lots of people thinking, you know, per the studios that it was going to be coming out relatively faster because, you know, they now had the technology behind making the game.
Yeah, but, you know, they took, what, 5 or 6 years to make Gran Turismo 5, so why hurry?
True. And that indeed is the sign we're now seeing. According to the head of Sony Worldwide Studios, Gran Turismo 6 is under development, but... basically, they're saying it is only announced for the PS4.
Yeah, I'm not too bothered by this. I don't have Gran Turismo 5.
I like my simulation racing games, but not so much that I have to go out and buy every one of them. And I find that, at least among our community, there are more people on Forza, so I stick with Forza. But there's, you know, Gran Turismo versus Forza is kind of the embodiment of the console fanboy war, right?
It is.
All the Gran Turismo fanboys want to tell you how ugly Forza is, and all the Forza fanboys want to remind you that there's only damage modeling on like six of the cars in Gran Turismo.
I'll tell you what, that Forza are doing okay by releasing every 2 years. I mean, that is.
Yeah,
to show that it doesn't take forever to bank these games. It's just them. It's just Gran Turismo being.
Yeah. Well, and each you got to think. I mean, each of these games, most of the physics is already understood. They just got to tweak the engine a little bit and then make it look prettier. Yeah. So
you would think that Polyphony Digital would have kind of learned a lesson by all of that, and that they would be pushing pretty hard to rock out Gran Turismo 6 at least within the next 2 years. But it doesn't seem to be the case.
You can't rush art, man.
Yeah, you can. You can. Okay, so last story, and this involves an upcoming game, Rage. So a lot of controversy came out about the installation of Rage. And when John Carmack talked about it, he said that you were going to have to install all three discs. Mike, all three discs, which are over 20 gigabytes of data. You have to install that to your Xbox.
No, you don't. He was misquoted. You misheard him, right? Stu kicked up about this. To get the best performance on Rage,
right,
you have to install it. But you can still run it off the disc.
True. Every Xbox game, and this is, you know, to their credit, they all can run off the disc.
Yeah. I don't install many games anyway, so I don't care. But if you have to install Rage, the news was it would be 21 gigs or whatever.
Right.
That's not the case now, right, Greg?
That is correct. So I think this is really a case of id not understanding fully how the Xbox 360 works with its install. So now they have come full circle and said, hey, good news, everybody. If you buy Rage on the 360, you will be able to install it per disc. So you can install the first disc. When it gets to the end of that data stream, it will tell you basically to insert disk 2. And at that point, you could delete disk 1 off your hard drive, install disk 2 on your hard drive, and the game will pick up right where it left off. And then do the same for disk 3 if you wanted. Disk 3, it's sounding like, by the way, is going to be basically the multiplayer disk. So really, the game is two disks long for the single player and one disk for the multiplayer.
Do you install discs, games to your hard drive?
I do.
Almost all of them, yeah. Actually.
Duke does as well. He installs almost every game. I'm like,
let me give you an interesting little factoid. There was a comparison done up on IGN about Deus Ex Human Revolution, and they compared the Xbox 360 non-installed load times versus the PS3, which has a mandatory partial installation of, I think it's somewhere between 5 and 6 gigs, and then the Xbox 360 full installation. And the Xbox 360 full installation was the shortest load times, which it averaged about 21 seconds. The PS3 was averaging about 26 seconds, and the non-installed 360 was basically upwards of 32 seconds. Mm-hmm. So, you know, by installing, you're shaving off a good 12 seconds of load time.
I don't know if it's worth it.
And yet, like, 12 seconds, man, that is forever.
I know. It's
but it really
30
does.
30 seconds, but I want it now. That's for Duke.
Yeah.
Simpsons reference.
Thank you. Thank you for the clarification. Anything else you want to add in there?
No. Just letting you know.
All right. Hey, I appreciate that.
Keeping it real.
Mike, the one thing you will notice, though, if you do install a game, is how quiet your Xbox 360 becomes.
Yeah, that's – I install it because, one, it's quieter, less heat when your DVD drive's not spinning up, and also no risk. So I run the console vertical, which I think is the way it's meant to be run, or is it meant to be run – or I don't – anyway.
Challenges every 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. But – the thing is, the more you run it, the more you spin the disc, the more the risk of it getting scratched is. So I install the games to avoid having to spin the disc.
I don't know. I haven't done any of that, and my discs are fine. I don't know.
Well, it's not like a big issue. It may or may not.
Right.
You know, it's just prevention. It's not like, oh, yeah. God, you're going to ruin all your games.
I think it was a much bigger issue with earlier model 360s versus some of the more recent models.
I'll tell you what's loud. My PS3. My PS3 is fucking loud.
All right, I've heard the early PS3s.
Yeah, it's a big fat one, mine, right? And I was playing Infamous, which is off the R drive, because I got it downloaded for free. And that was loud. I was like, man, this PS3 is going to die. Oh, well.
I will say this about Xbox 360 installs. I really wish that they could work out a way that, say, L.A. Noire on three discs. I installed all three discs. I should not have to switch discs while I'm playing the game.
Yeah,
I think that's just a coding issue on their end.
We want everyone to buy a copy of the game issue. I think they're afraid
the disc in there is like they're scared that people are stealing them and stuff. So.
Yeah. I think they're afraid, like, if I buy a three-disc game, then I'm going to install it, and then my buddy's going to install it, and my buddy and his buddy's going to install it, and then each of us just keeps one disc. I mean, the easy solution to that is, you know, only disc one has the,
right.
You know, whatever the unlock key is, but I don't know. Maybe it is a coding issue.
Yeah, because Forza 3 works in that regard. The second disc you can install, you don't ever have to do anything with that. Once you install it, it's on your system.
Yeah, it treats it more like DLC.
Right.
But that second disc is also pretty small. It's only like 2 gigs.
True. You know, speaking of hard drives and fan noises and loud things, I'm going to go total tangent here. Over the weekend, one of my little side projects, I decided to actually crack open my tower PC and clean it. Because I was noticing it was starting to get really hot, and I was noticing I was hearing a kind of a rattling sound of one of the fans.
Okay.
You would not believe how much dust
and
just stuff cakes in there.
I would believe. Yeah, tower PCs, you got to open them once a month or so and clean them out.
Yeah, I was shocked. I looked at my AMD graphics card. It had a fan over the heatsink, and I could tell that there was just a lot of dust that had gone in there. I removed the fan, and the heatsink actually was just coated.
if you ground yourself, Greg, you can avoid that shock. They make those little bracelets, you know?
Yeah, so two things. One, if you do ever decide to clean out your PC, definitely unplug the thing before you go into it.
Good plan.
Yeah, it's always a good plan. And two, certainly it is smart to ground yourself, because any static electricity from yourself could potentially fry a soldering point on a circuit board.
Damn.
Yeah.
That would be bad.
Yeah, and that would definitely be poo-poo. But, clean your tower PC. Who would have thunk?
Who would have thunk?
Anyway, that's it for the news. I guess now we could just take
a
show break.
That's the news. Show break.
That's the
show
news.
Show break.
And that's the way it is.
What are you doing?
Scanning.
Hey, yo, BC, the turntable biotic. Hit him with the good stuff, gone.
Probe away.
I'm Commander Shepard.
Probe away, way.
You want to see if I've got the minerals?
Probe away.
I'm Commander Shepard.
Beep
it, I'll break it down so you can absorb it. You need to mine planets, minerals, and do it from orbit. Some good advice, and you're too much of a noob to ignore it. You'll be stranded with no fuel if you foolishly floor it. I used to rock microphones, rhyming in the stadium. These days I launch probes, mining for palladium. Slouching at my console, crying from the tedium. I contemplate relations with the slimiest of aliens. Spectre and Alliance and 7 special ops. Some things I scan are anomalous, but the rest are rocks. This shit is so boring, most men's souls would wither. Yo, but I ain't trying to get my tallies or I'm blown to smithers. No doubt, I get it in with the iridium. Rhythmically click and launch probe, tunnel vision, and I'm mining for resources with the lowliest of purposes. I drag the scanner reticle slowly on the surface.
Probe away.
I'm
You wanna see if I've got the minerals?
Probe away.
I'm Commander Shepard.
Probe away, way.
Smelly got those minerals.
Hey yo. Probe away, foes know that probing may make me cranky, like Harkin on a sober day.
Okay.
Tommy's research, ayo, fuck a solar ray, I'll take a cane to motherfuckers, go straight and no legay. You can scan procedurally or just stop and meander, but if it's taking ages, doggy, stop with the scanner. You need to get a fucking upgrade, talk to Miranda, she'll probably get up from her desk so you can stop for a gander. She's a skeezy hoe, totally elusive man, he don't believe me though, I oughta find his office, leave the geezer leaking hemoglobin. Although an older brother brought me back from the dead, I feel compelled to put one in the back of his head. Anyway, fuck a prime directive, only amateurs enforce this. New strip mining planetoids scanning for resources. Racking shit from the moon's planets and the ports. And now the Normandy is upgraded and damaging your forces. Yeah, I get my scan on like a tampon.
From the break, and we are re-energized, ready to go, talking to Community Mailbag. So question for the show 130 was actually pulled from the old Gate forums. And that was the old, is the death of disc-based games basically happening and or about to happen? And so with that, maybe we should just kind of throw it around the table here. So, Mike, what do you think? Disc-based games, do you think they're on their way out, or do you think they have longer legs than we think?
They'll have longer legs because CDs are around still, you know. But the majority will be downloadable. I think in 10 years, it's all downloadable, dude. But discs will still be around for a while. But then the generation will come where they don't even care about discs. The kids today, Greg, they don't care about CDs and music. So, you know, eventually... gaming will go downloadable because it's just that nostalgia thing. People still love vinyl, and you know, as people move on and grow up, like they stop caring about those things and go into something else. Whatever's convenient. So when on live is more convenient and the broadband's more stronger, downloadable, baby.
Okay.
I like my box art and my DVD case and my disc and having the instruction book and stuff. I liked it, but I come from that generation, so that's what I'm expected to like. But
all right, fair enough.
Can you do?
Yeah, no. Chris, what do you think?
I think we're all going to kind of sing the same tune here. I think we will get to the point in time when discs go away, and I think it's not going to happen all at once. It's going to be sort of a gradual process, but. Discs, I don't want to throw too much out here because we'll get to it, but as long as there's money to be made from putting games on discs, there will be games on discs. And right now there's still a lot of money to be made from putting games on discs. So yeah. That's going to keep them going.
Yeah, no, I think that's a pretty fair statement. I think the digital download era will come much faster once the console manufacturers find a good way to satisfy retailers, because they, at the end of the day, what's really probably hindering disc or digital download more than anything from Sony and Microsoft standpoint, and even Nintendo to a big degree, is they need retailers to put shelf space for their consoles. But there's not a lot of markup in a console for a retailer. So they make a lot of their money off software sales. And if there's not software sales, they're not going to want to put that console up on the shelf.
And also, yeah, like, they want to put their publishers, not just like Microsoft and Sony, publishers themselves, like EA, they want to put their games on their shelves if they can't, like, if they're not disc based because they can't resell them.
Right.
If they can resell them or people can trade them in, then they'll put them on. But if they can't, then it's no good for them because they make more money from, you know, used games. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a tricky subject.
Yeah, I mean, I think the solution actually is probably already out in front of us, and it really is probably just going to take a bold move from one of the console makers, because I guarantee they want this to happen. It's just a matter of figuring out the right way to do it. But I think we are going to see in the future codes sold at retailers. So, you know, you go into the retail store, and instead of picking up the box, you're going to pick up a cardboard, you know, leaf, if you will, that, you know, similar to what they did with the Gears of War codes for the map pack. When they did the Gears of War 2 map pack, they sold it in the retail stores for $20.
It's like what they do with Microsoft points, things like that.
Right, right. Yeah. You just go in, you'll buy the card, and it'll have a code in there. You know, heck, maybe they can even, you know, make it a you know, kind of a bifold, and they can have some instructions in there, so you have an instruction booklet still. But, you know, you'll buy the code in the store, and then you'll take that home and input the code. And I think that's probably the quickest and easiest way they can get around that retail issue.
I don't know. I think it'll be like the same as the music model, really. Like, you know, you still got your music stores around. They still sell CDs, but they're dying, and they're going down. And they'll try to find, like, the big music store in Britain is HMV. HMV was, like, well known for, like, selling vinyls, cassettes, CDs. Obviously now they sell a lot of CDs still, but they've got into over there. So they've actually got into gaming a lot more, and clothes, and their replay, which is basically their used games market, and books as well. Books is a big thing for them as well. So, like, they try and find other ways to make money, but they're still going down. And eventually, like, these game stores, like GameStop and stuff, will kind of be dying. Like, at the moment, they're doing fine, but I think as long as people will stop buy disc games, they're okay. But eventually, yeah, like, the publishers and the big dogs won't care, but they'll try and phase them out like music has done with HMV and stuff. So,
I think the thing that's holding music, the thing that's holding digital media, specifically CDs, up in music is, for the truly discerning person, there is a big difference between the sound quality of a CD and the sound quality of, say, an MP3 or whatever the file format is you download from iTunes, AAC. You know, if you can't take a song that would typically take up 20 megabytes on a CD and compress it down to 3 megabytes for an iPod without losing some quality.
Right.
So that's going to hold up the optical media for music. But I don't think, you know, I mean, for games, obviously, if you download the whole game, you got the whole game. So maybe eventually you'll be able to buy higher quality audio through iTunes or whatever. But, yeah. It's interesting that you mentioned GameStop, Chen, because I read an article the other day that next year GameStop is going to launch a streaming game service that's going to be coming to consoles, PCs, and TVs.
So another way to make money.
Well, I think that they are smelling the writing on the wall that publishers are trying to crush used game sales, and so they're trying to carve themselves out a new market.
It's a good idea.
Yeah. No, man, it's a smart place for them to go, you know, in terms of like a digital rental service, if you will.
You could buy your games through a console, through the GameStop portal, you know what I mean? Like a bit like Steam, but GameStop on your console. Or there could be shops on your console that you could go to GameStop or somewhere else, and you just browse them like you browse the internet.
Yeah, I mean, I really think that is the true future we're headed to. You know, you're going to get the code, or you'll be able to buy it digitally, however that works. But, you know, you get it, and, you know, things like, you know, a game comes out today, you'll have inputted that code. You could pre-order it. They still get the pre-order sales, and then it just basically loads into your system, but it doesn't unlock until the day of release.
Wait, like, yeah, you, I mean, you
I mean Steam does that right now.
You can pre-order it for your console, say, and say, I want to buy this game when this is released, and then the next time you switch your console on, it's there. You know, it's just one of, it's just, it's so convenient to do it. Like, music is very disposable these days. Like, a song is really easy to get by. Like, anybody, I could send you a song over Skype. You know, it's that easy to pass songs around. Eventually, like, when the broadband gets better and, I don't know, when compression gets better, I suppose, like it quicker, it'll be, games will be a little bit more disposable as well. Movies are quite disposable. Not as much as music, obviously, but, you know, games are getting there. But they are getting bigger as well. Okay,
right,
they are getting bigger, yeah. But that might help it a little bit. That might slow down the whole download-only process.
You know, it's funny you bring that up, and you know, Chris is talking about GameStop and going to this online service. I think we've seen already kind of the writing on the wall in which direction consoles and gaming in general is going, and that is a service similar to OnLive.
Yeah.
The tech still has a little bit of improvements that need to happen, but that, I think, is the way they want it to go, and probably it will go.
All it needs eventually is everybody to have hot shit internet, which in about 10 years people might have, you know? Yeah.
You won't have to, you know, you won't download anything. You will just basically get access to it. You'll access a server farm somewhere else to get into your game, and it'll run on their system. You won't have anything other than just, in a sense, a portal in your house to get into the service.
Yep, pretty much.
Well,
I think that's the way it's going.
All right, well, let's jump into what some of the community thought. First, we have one tweet on the subject, and that was from our good friend Hell Patrol. And he said, personally, it will depend on price point. If there is a drastic reduction, maybe, but GB needs a good internet infrastructure. So, yeah, I mean, you know, I get the internet infrastructure certainly needs to improve for a digital download future to happen, or digital access future, however you want to look at it. And certainly we're not there yet. But as you pointed out, Mike, we're getting there pretty quickly.
We're getting there. We're getting there.
Chris,
another one as well. As soon as they start selling games cheaper downloadable, it's over. Game over.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed. I know the forums, we had a bunch of responses to this question originally, and then even after we reposted it up. So let's hear some of those.
So we kind of asked the question between the three of us if we thought this was going to happen. One of the other questions people have been asking is, what do they think about it? A lot of people don't really like the idea. Particularly Parsnip Nose 3000, because as Thuper says, he has every disc ever published, most of them in a series of rickety cabinets and sheds spread across his yard, still in the plastic. And that's probably true, because Parsnip buys a lot of games and doesn't necessarily play all of them.
I think Marcanix also is guilty of that, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes,
another
Marcanix also has quite the pile of shame, yes. As do I, although it's shrinking because I'm buying less games, and I sold a lot of them at a yard sale. Me, personally, I wasn't really a fan of it at the start, but the more I've been playing XBLA titles, the more I'm sold on it. I really like the convenience of just being able to change between games without having to figure out where I hid this disc and that disc, because I'm not smart enough to keep... I'm not smart enough to keep all the discs in one place, so I'm always having to figure out where's this one.
And Chris, to that point, though, I think the quality of the game has gone up drastically in probably just the past year.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think your skepticism probably came from early on. Digital download games kind of sucked.
Yeah, the first couple that I played were terrible, like that Battlestar Galactica on
the
it was awful. So Swinka says his issue with download games is once you buy them, you're stuck with them. And I think we're going to see this theme a little bit. You can't trade them in or even give them away. If games become download only, then you have more worries about disk space management. So two issues. One, you can't trade them in. And two, you need a bigger hard drive. And if you're an Xbox 360 gamer, that is a serious concern because, let's face it, the price on Microsoft hard drives per gigabyte is ridiculous.
Yes.
Yeah.
Excuse me, Ender 837. has a company called Impulse, has been working for a while to build a case for resell around their platform. I'm not familiar with that company. That may have been a contributing factor in GameStop's interest in them this year. So maybe Impulse is the – maybe GameStop's buying up this Impulse company. Ender 837 or Scott works in the coding business, so he knows a lot about software development, et cetera. Biggest roadblock is and always will be the publishers. Why would MS or EA want to resell? And we talked about that already.
Right.
Trying to crush used sales. Maybe with the introduction of online pass, there may be a crack in the wall for used digital distro titles. So you could buy someone else's license off them, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. I could see that, especially, I could see the publishers actually getting behind it if they get their cut. If they get their cut and being it, electronic, I'm sure there would be, I'll say, an easy way. It may not necessarily be easy, but a way for them to track a license and it being transferred over to somebody else, and they would then, get their share of whatever the used sale was, type thing.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what it comes down to. If publishers can make money from used games, then they won't care. Let's see. And then Corzan, he brings up the point, well, if disk-based management becomes an issue, then does the idea of cloud gaming start to be more realistic? He questions, remember the cloud? Where was all the hype? Where has all the hype gone? I know you still see reference to it on Steam, but it was the next best thing a year or so ago.
It's still coming. It's improved and it's still around. I know a lot of us thought it would die off pretty quickly, but they've made enough of a dent and an inroad that they're not going anywhere anytime soon.
I wouldn't be surprised if Xbox kind of make the first move on this, because they're introducing like Steam as well. Steam, like, in the console market, I reckon Microsoft will make the first move, because they're pretty forward thinking. They're a software company. They know what they have to do. Whereas PlayStation, we'll be more. I think they're playing catch up rather than thinking of new ideas. So yeah, just look at the countries they're from. Japan, very traditional, stuck in their ways, and that's not like dissing Japan or anything. That's just fact. And like Microsoft are very like forward thinking. They're always trying to like up like everyone else. It's competition to them, and they are brilliant with their software. They know what they're doing. So. They're bringing cloud storage to the Xbox. So, yeah.
It's happening, people. It's happening.
Yeah. It's going to happen. Just accept it. Let's see. In-game 13 says, I'm not a big fan of the digital game download. I like to trade the games in that I don't like and get something else. I'm not a complete fan of the XBLA either. Most of the titles that I have purchased are inaccessible if you lose your internet connection.
True.
If I purchased it, why can't I access it? Hello, Microsoft, are you listening? I don't think so, but maybe. Who knows? It wasn't like that a few years ago, but since the change, I've really started to hate it. The extra storage space needed to keep the games on file is getting ridiculous. Sure, they might come out with a new hard drive with more space, but then I have to go through the trouble of shelling out more cash and transferring all my data to the other hard drive. PITA, which stands for pain in the arse, I believe. I did discover that you can move Xbox Live titles to a flash drive and play them from the flash drive with very little loss in performance. I haven't even noticed a loss. I moved Trenched over to a thumb drive because I wasn't playing it a lot anymore. Then some of my buddies got it recently, and so I've been playing it off the thumb drive. Works just fine.
Okay.
On the subject of losing the access to your XBLA content if you lose your internet, Thuper says, yes, this really burns me. I imagine it's some effort to keep someone from scanning the system in some way, but I don't really care. From scamming the system, excuse me. I'm not stealing from you, so why am I the one who has to suffer? And he has a great point here. I think a lot of what they do is just keeping honest people honest. I had a big problem with... When Mass Effect 2 first came out, I was in California, and I didn't have a reliable connection to Xbox Live, so I couldn't play the Mass Effect 2 downloadable. I couldn't really use my game save because I had DLC in it, and I couldn't load that game save because I couldn't access the internet to get to that deal to prove that that was my DLC. And that was really stupid.
Well, but let's face it. If you looked at your profile, I think everybody would agree it's a little shady, you know.
My profile's a little shady?
Yeah. You're a shady character.
I am. I'm a thief. What can I say? I want to play my games that I purchased, not find that at least 3/4 of them convert over to trial version whenever I'm on the road or not connected. That's crap. On the flip side, it is called Xbox Live Arcade, but still, it bugs me. I just want to play a bit of Torchlight or Keflings for 20 minutes on an LCD monitor without having to find a LAN cable to connect to or a wireless connection to hook into. Meanwhile, all the people they actually have to worry about can do whatever they want. Yes. Steve-O-Matic says there's still a movement towards cloud gaming with Google introducing cloud computing with their new laptops and services. I think there'll be a push towards it again. I dislike the idea of cloud gaming and digital distribution for games in general, but I don't see it going away. Hopefully we can hold it off as long as possible, as I still want to have control over my games and whether I choose to keep them or resell them as I please. Plus, with the move towards digital distribution or streaming, that would require faster and undoubtedly far more expensive internet to sustain this hobby. True.
Yeah, Steve, I was just going to suggest, just bunker yourself into your house, barricade the doors, you know, hammer up the windows with bullet, you know, boards, and just you'll keep them away from your console.
And wait for the zombie apocalypse.
Yes.
I already think we are being price gouged on our current internet costs, so I don't really look forward to paying more for it. Yeah, there might be some truth in that statement.
Yeah. So there's a lot of good points being made.
Yes. And then Greg says, hey, we're going to use this on show 130.
Hey.
Hey, that's everybody.
A true statement.
And then to round it out, Mr. Steve Conger says, greetings, guys, gals, and guilties. I honestly think we'd be surprised at the sheer volume of PS3, 360, and Wii owners that either have A, no broadband coverage in their area, or B, neglected connecting them at all. There's more than you think. The heavy hitters, Microsoft, Sony, Nintendo, EA, Activision, Valve, will not alienate those folks by not allowing them to spend money on their software. There will come a time, and it really isn't that far off, when every title will be available for digital purchase, but it will take nothing less than lost revenue to kill off disc-based games. Once transit costs and the retail middleman cut exceeds the profit made and the numbers shipped have dropped, then and only then will you truly be able to bury it. It's at least 3 more generations away, he thinks. Theoretically, you could move the timetable up a gen if a truly reliable, non-intrusive digital DRM solution is found. And I think he makes a great point, and that is there are people out there who don't have their Xbox on Xbox Live or their PlayStation on the PlayStation Network.
Crazy.
As crazy as it may seem.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a friend of mine that I work with who has a 9-year-old son who has an Xbox, but his Xbox is not connected to Live because he doesn't want him having to interact with some other people on Live who are not, shall we say, cordial.
So basically us.
Yeah, I think he's protecting his son from us. Yeah,
it's smart. You know, the funny thing in that is that Sony actually has already attempted this with the PSP Go. They went all digital with that. Now it failed miserably.
But yes, it did.
I think that absolutely shows the willingness and the desire of these companies to try and make those efforts now. Versus waiting 3 generations. I don't think they're going to wait 3 generations to really try and go back and do this again.
I don't think so. I think 2 is more realistic.
Yeah.
I think there's also a difference between a handheld going all digital and a full-fledged HD console going all digital.
Yeah.
You could realistically, using the bare minimum, you know, going to the library and stealing free Wi-Fi, you could probably get most of the PSP games in a reasonable amount of time. Provided you were allowed to play them offline.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. That is the key. You have to be able to play offline.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess we can jump into our emails. Lots of good responses on the forums. We had a number of emails, and ironically, the first email we got was from Mr. Steve Conger.
Again.
Yeah, yeah. back-to-back Steves. I don't know if we can handle it. He says, hello, fellas. Just wanted to drop a quick line after thinking further about the topic we discussed on last week's show.
Oh, boy.
I'm still feeling that there are way too many games being released to be consumed by all. But I thought on Chinny's point of how we consume them. It's no secret that it's no secret that the average age of the core gamer is around 37 now. And I don't know about you all, but my lifestyle has changed to where I don't have the time for 80-hour RPG campaigns anymore. I left a comment on the Gate forums on the topic this week, but further contemplation on that had me arriving at a new idea. We're all used to episodic gaming by now, but what if publishers were to offer you the ability to pre-order your $60 Deus Ex or Gears 3, but release it to you in once a month, 5-hour chunks. So, you know, basically, you know, you buy the game, but instead of getting the entire single player campaign up front, you get it in, say, broken up into 3 pieces of DLC over, say, 3 months or, you know, even 9 months. It becomes truly episodic. He said you'd get access to the multiplayer code right away, and little tweaks could even be added to it as the story packs release. I hate the way in which I consume games now in smaller bits, but it might be kind of cool being able to say, man, I can't wait for the first week in October for the next episode of Assassin's Creed, then a new Batman pack for the following week. I might be able to get behind a physical media-less console like that. Just saying. Hope you have a terrific show. Steve.
Now,
so what do you think about that?
Now, as good of an idea that is for Steve, right, that, Steve, in all due respect, will never fucking happen. Ever. Right?
I don't know. So listen, Mike.
No, I haven't stopped, right?
No!
Alright. There's no way, right, that they're going to sell a game in 5-hour chunks in 3 parts because it's too complicated for one. People will go, oh, that's stupid, just give me the whole game. The other one is development time when they finish developing the game. The other one is someone who gets pissed off because they want the full game. Some people play games like 1 or 2 hours a week. Others play 80 hours a week, 60 hours a week, 50 hours a week.
Mike, I get where you're coming from. Right now, the mentality of the gamer, nobody's going to want that. They're all going to balk at it. But think about it. From a publisher standpoint, you're not going to mind, or a developer standpoint, you're not going to mind, because in order to get the game, you pay up front. It's no different than the Rockstar Pass. You're paying, you know, $10 extra, and it ensures you get all the DLC that they release out for that game. And
but
so when they
people,
release
how many
out,
people
they get
buy
it
the Rockstar Pass compared to the actual game.
Okay. But had they said, okay, here, you're buying Grand Theft Auto 4, but also with Grand Theft Auto 4, not only do you're getting the game, but then you're also getting, you know, the story of Gay Tony 6 months later. But, you know, instead of it being as it was, which is a completely separate add-on, it was actually part of the story. So you got, say, chapters 1 through 3, and they wrap up nicely enough, but that, you know, then you're kind of waiting in say, you know, a month or 2 months.
I don't want to wait a month or two months. I want to have the whole game.
I know you say you don't want to wait, but, you know, if they set it up and you understood as you're buying it, that's the way it's going to be, is that really going to piss you off? Or are you going to be okay with it because you know up front?
No, like, I don't want the whole thing. No,
I know you want the whole thing, but what if they said no? You don't get the whole thing.
Well,
what if Rockstar said, Mike, Grand Theft Auto 5, it's broken up into 3 chapters. You buy the game up front. You're going to get the code that's going to give you everything. So you're not going to pay for any DLC down the road. But chapter 1 you get on the disc with the multiplayer. Chapter 2 is going to be released in 1 month time. Chapter 3 is going to be released in 3 months.
So the thing is with that,
right.
I would work some a Rockstar fan, boy, but they wouldn't sell as much as they would if they just did a standard release. I don't believe they would.
I'm sure the initial games wouldn't, but it's an interesting concept. Almost think it could work.
I think it's fanciful. I don't think it's going to ever happen.
Now,
episodic gaming like really failed on its own big time for like AAA games. It works for certain types of game, but it doesn't work great for.
See, I think they haven't done it right yet. I don't like, I've truly seen episodic gaming.
I think people see it as like it's not enough kind of thing for a AAA game. I don't know. I think for like a point and click game, which is for some reason seems to work well. I don't know. Like those are shorter games. They're very repetitive, so you don't really mind playing an hour or so of those. But when you're playing like a you know a first person shooter or something, you want the rest. Like I don't think this formula is going to gel with like the COD heads of the world and stuff like that.
See if they got their multiplayer up front. Are they really going to be upset? No.
What does Chris think about this?
What does Chris think about this?
He has a throw through. I'd have to wait for the fucking ending like, in a 3 minutes time.
I think Chitty's right. I think it depends on the genre. A game like Fallout or Assassin's Creed or Fable, I could see this working because those are games that are very long and you can... If you're like me, and when you get a new game, you that's all you play, you can quickly burn yourself out of a game and not really care for it anymore. Whereas if it comes in small chunks, then maybe one. It's a digital thing, so never mind. I was going to say something about trade-ins, but it doesn't matter because you can't trade it in. But you know, you prolong the life of the game.
Yeah.
Or a bit artificially, but also it helps out, you know, people like me who are a bit obsessive compulsive about their games. Now, the problem is it would drive me crazy having all those incompleted games on my profile with for achievements. But yeah, I wouldn't see that working for Gears of War 3. Or a Halo-type title. Like, you know, if I'm going to grab a Halo title, I know the campaign's going to be 8 to 10 hours. I want to blast through it.
Wait a minute. Halo already left us with a cliffhanger in Halo 2. So we're used to it. Come on.
It made us mad, dude.
I know. But would you have been mad had you known in a month's time you were getting the finish of that?
Well, ironically, I got it in 2 weeks' time because I didn't play Halo until Halo 3 came out. But, yeah, I finished Halo 2 about 2 weeks before Halo 3 dropped, but that's besides. Right.
I can't argue Steve's point anymore.
I think it's a great idea, but I think it depends on the genre of the game. I think there are certain games that it would work for. You know, I'm thinking of the Alan Wakes or the...
Right,
it's not only the genre; it's the audience as well. It's the audience.
Yeah. Well, the audience, when I say genre, I say you know people who like a certain type of game are going to go.
Yeah.
Right.
But I also think it also would very much largely be dependent upon how you write the story for the game, because you know you have to break it up logically and in ways that it's not going to infuriate people as much as you know it would. You know,
yeah. Well, and maybe a month is too much. Maybe two weeks. I don't know.
I'm looking at a developer's point of view. It wouldn't really be worth it for them.
You write out your 15-hour story. You break it up into three pieces. When you're sending this off to you know to print or whatever, and you know basically selling it to the public, they're paying you up front, so you're getting your money. So from a developer standpoint, I don't see how they would be upset. They're getting their money.
Not the money wise, but actually making the game.
They made it
first. What if they reach the first part? Like, say if they made it, then right, what are they doing? Like they, if they've made the whole game, right?
Right.
And it gets split up into three, right? And they release the first part, and then it gets really bad reviews, right? And then they go, shit, we have to change this game because it's going to get really bad reviews when we release the second episode,
yeah,
right? And then they have to spend time making that episode better instead of making another game. I don't think it's going to work. I don't think it's going to game fly. I just added the word game because I'm reading
that word. All right. Speaking of flying, let's move on.
Let's fly on.
Yeah.
We got another email, Greg.
Uh-oh.
From Eric Petrovsky.
Why do I have a feeling I'm not going to like this?
Mr. DeLacy, I am severely disappointed in you, sir. Severely capitalized.
Yes.
Disappointed in you. No one on any VG Hub podcast talks about Harlem Front more than you and I. Yet you refused, Greg, to attend the very special Veteran Gamers Playdate, during which we had some wild times in that game. For shame, sir.
I wanted to be there, Eric. I did. My deepest, heartfelt sorry. I missed out. Trust me, I wanted to be there.
Dude goes on to say, man, Nine Inch Nails' Ghost is such a mixed bag. Pick a style, Trent.
I like the fact that he kind of is all over the board. Sorry.
I know you asked the question of the week at the end of last week's show, but I can't remember what it is. So I'll just pretend to remember. Read the following in a silly voice that makes Greg sound like a buffoon. Hey, y'all, what do you think about that game there? Ain't it crazy? Yes, I do. Them there games are crazy. I cleared everything off my gamefly list, so they'll send me Deus Ex right away. They'll probably still take a week, but I'm not certain enough to buy that mess full price. Now, Driver San Francisco, on the other hand, now that's a game.
Duke.
Stupid AT&T, they cut off my phone dead in the middle of a Veteran Gamers podcast because they were repairing my phone line, which had this loud buzzing noise on it. No warning, nothing. I had to go race up to the street to Ella's Deli and use their Wi-Fi just to let Chinny and Stu know what happened.
See, Duke, it was actually a conspiracy. The government is on to you. They know your anti-government spiel that you've been spouting out. They're trying to shut you down, Duke.
They're on you, man. They're on you.
Yep.
Goddamn right wingers. Anyway, did anyone see a mighty wind? Who happened? Did I say that right? I don't know.
Maybe.
Chris, does he know what a mighty wind is?
No idea what he's talking about.
No.
Sorry, Duke. Also, did you like the remix of Chinny's Real Long Spoilers sound I did? Spoilers! Pretty wicked.
Yeah.
Okay, enough of this crap. I've got mudding to do. Duke out.
Mudding. Yeah.
Another word for getting divorced. His wife's looking at him thinking, what was it about him that I liked? I can't quite remember now.
Let's go back to the photo album. Maybe something will be reminding. That's what photo albums are for.
He was thinner. That's what
God damn, he used to look good.
He had a jawline.
Hey, Mike, we also got an email from Andrew Gould. Mm-hmm. We also know him as Mr. Bedhair. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Bedhair Do. He said, hello, Gang chaps.
Gangue Crimes as well. He has about 5 fans.
Yeah, it's craziness. He said, hello, chaps. Right, few things flying through my head my mind about this subject. Where to start? My first thought about not having games on disc and the future of downloading games online is of excitement, thinking of all the possibilities it may bring. It would be fantastic to play games you've purchased and stored somewhere on a virtual cloud in cyberspace and not worry about how many gigabytes you have left. I was also thinking about the possibilities of renting games online. Could you play two games through an online system and then when you are finished with them, delete them from your online storage device and get two more games you are entitled to in that month? Wouldn't it kind of kill rentals?
Oh, yeah. I never thought about saving your game on the cloud like you would save like a Google Doc, right? So imagine Love Film did that and that you just, that'd be wicked.
Yeah.
Well, Andrew Gould, you should look into this.
That is on live. I'm just saying right now.
On live's stupid.
Hey, it's in the UK now. Don't call it stupid.
Yeah, but on live streams the game, right? Where Love Film, let's call it Love Film Plus, right? Love Film Plus lets you download four games a month. Like I can get four games a month posted to me, right, at the moment. But it lets you download them four, and then when you're done, like, you just delete it and it knows, you know? And that's it. Like, that would be wicked. That would be awesome. Andrew, go get into that. Start a business. Go on Dragon's Den. You Americans don't know what that is, but go on that.
Andrew says, another thought I had was about store retailers and how they thrive making lots of money through the used game sales market. If you are buying online games, there will not be any used games, so you will have to pay full price for the games or wait until they are at a discounted price. Store retailers we know today may be forced to shut down.
Gonna happen.
Or forced to change the model. And I think the latter is probably what we're seeing.
Change the model. Find other ways to make money, yeah. Sure.
I was then thinking about online rentals and wondering why the games publishers do not cut the middleman out and rent games directly to their consumer. It says this would mean the developers would not miss out on making money from their game rentals.
Well, you know, like a publisher has got so many things to do. I don't think like, there's in a way there's like two middlemen. So you got the developer who makes the game, right?
Right.
And you got the customers who buy the games. And in the middle, you got the publisher who boxes, you know, puts the game, ships the game, and then you got the other middleman, which is the store, the distributor, who distributes the games to the customers. So there's kind of two elements in there. And I don't think the publisher, like EA or anything, has enough like resources or can be asked like to do it. Like it would cost so much money to not only publish it but to distribute it as well. Like obviously,
could you imagine how massive EA would have to be to not only be a publisher and developer but also rent those games out?
Yeah, I mean they are doing an online service for PC gamers, and that's where Battlefield 3. So that kind of model, like if it is getting online, rentals might be out of the question. But some kind of like online like store like Steam or something isn't out of the question.
Oh sure, that's a much more manageable situation.
But the thing is, like only big games like big publishers like EA could do it, like an Activision, right? And Valve can do it. Maybe Rockstar could do it. But like you know your Ataris and what else?
I think all of them could. I think you're maybe selling the idea of selling via the web a little short. I think
it would be all inconsistent. It wouldn't be like central. You know what I mean?
There would be inconsistencies. Plus, when you are selling, when you're a retailer, you have to basically take on a warehouse. You have to be able to ship. So because you know. EA, they have their online store, but it is not only digital download, but it's also you can buy physical copies of the game. Mm. You know, at the end of the day, right now, we've already talked about this, these publishers and console makers still need physical retail to push their games right now. It may change, but for now, they need to have the physical side of it. So smaller organizations aren't going to have the manpower, the wherewithal to set up a physical operation. But if they just wanted to do digital download, yeah, they could probably do it. But Microsoft and Sony won't let that happen.
I would want like the middleware kind of like Steam console version, you know what I mean? Like a version of Steam for consoles or something. I wouldn't want like the publishers to distribute it straight to me because, you know, they can charge as much as they want. They can... I know it's a bit of a... But at the same time, Valve do great deals with their own games because they can't, you know? Yeah. Like, so... if they're in charge of how much they charge, so they can do ridiculous prices for all the games that they published. It's tricky, but something's going to come along that's going to smash it for consoles, I think.
Yeah. Anyway, he says, my brain hurts now. I've been thinking too much. Xbox Live, gamertag, Gangu Crimes.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. BH. Thank you for that email. Thanks for all the emails. With the exception of Duke, everybody else made us think. Duke, well, you know, you're just Duke. We love you still. Okay. So next week, question for show 131. And we may dive in and take a look at the forums as well and see if there's some other areas that we want to pirate from. But at least for now, the question we're going to throw out there is, for the next generation of consoles, talk is starting to heat up about it. So what is more important to you, reasonable cost with marginal performance increase or a greater performance increase with a higher entry cost?
We will discuss further. If you want to join in the discussions, email the show, we'll write in the forums or send us a tweet.
Yes. Chris, are you still with us?
Yeah, man, what's up?
I was just thinking about playdates, specifically community playdates.
Community play. Oh wait, we don't do that, do we? Yes. No, Mike, that won't be happening.
Oh.
Yeah, boo. So, community upcoming playdates. We've got the weekly Friday night racing session. And this Friday, starting at 4 p.m. on the East Coast, which I think is 2100 in the UK, I am going to be trying to get some people together to play Operation Flashpoint Red River, specifically the fire team engagements. So send me a friend request if you would like to join in.
I've got a question for you. Do you need those achievements for the fire team engagements?
Well, I suppose need is a strong word. Well, I would like to get them.
So isn't that a coincidence that you've set that play date and you need those achievements?
Yeah.
It's not at all a coincidence.
Now, I'll try and make this. Well, Friday, yeah. Actually, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to be there.
Yeah.
I'm going to be there. And also, if, you know, if no one minds, can we do Mission 4?
Or Mission My dog's going to be there.
Yeah, dog is pissed off about Mission 4. Yeah. Doesn't want to do Mission 4.
Sorry.
Mike, we can do whatever. I would like to do the fire team engagements, but if people need help with the campaign, we can do those too.
It's just I've played Mission 4 now, Chris, about 7 times.
Well, then you should be good at it.
I know every corner. All right, I know everyone.
And yet you still need to finish it.
But like, I've done the last thing that you have to do, and then it crashed on me, and I was like, man. So it's just pissing me off now.
All right.
But we'll do team engagements, definitely. I want to try
that. Let's do that. Saturday, the Formula One 2010, what do they call that? Massacre. I guess they're expecting some wrecks.
Pile up in turn 3.
Yeah. 7 p.m. UK time, 2 p.m. East, 11 a.m. on the left coast. And Sunday,
reasonable times, I have to say.
Yes. Yeah. And Sunday, the Veteran Gamers play date at 6 Greenwich Mean Time. Halo Reach. And they'll be doing some crazy forging.
Why do you guys do this to me? 6 p.m. Gross Mountain Time puts it squarely right in the middle of the morning for me. I can't make those play dates.
Get out of
killing me, Smalls. It's not – I'm already out of bed, Chief.
How early is that for you, Greg?
It's 10 a.m., which means family stuff going on, church, taking the kid out to the park, you know, fatherly duties.
What about 12 a.m.? 12 p.m., sorry.
I would totally be there.
Jenny's formulating a plot.
Yeah.
Curious. Happy birthday to Intensive Care, spelled K-E-R-R. Panama, Denver J, Nelly G, and Wild Gator 25.
Yeah.
And it's a slow week on the forums this week. Welcome to the sole new member, Delext.
And you know what? I want to give Delext a big shout out because not only is he a new member, but he has already sent me a message on Xbox Live. Now, granted, it was not the most polite message in the world, but no, actually, he was saying he's a big fan of Fruit Ninja Connect. He said, don't be ashamed. Sing out its praises. And I will. Fruit Ninja Connect forever, baby.
Hmm. Right.
That's all I got.
Fruit Ninja. Good for you. yeah. So those are your play dates, your birthdays, and your new members. If you are happy with this train wreck of a show, please leave us an iTunes or Zoom review. We could always use those.
Yes. One of these days, we actually will check our iTunes reviews again. I mean, you know, we check them about once a month. We're on the cusp of having to check again.
Well, we get a review. We get a review about once every other month. So, you know, we're doing good.
Hey, Mike, I am one of those Zune losers, by the way.
Yes, you are.
I am.
You
I
lost
love my Zune,
Craig? It's bad news.
No, I've got my Zune. I love
you
it.
You said you were a Zune loser.
Oh, it's horrible. Horrible.
What were you
horrible.
Thinking, Bill Gates?
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
If you were going to send an email to this podcast.
Yeah.
Why don't we discuss that?
I wouldn't bother. No. If I was going to send an email to this podcast about the subject, let's say, for example, what's more important to you, reasonable cost with marginal performance in the next console, or increase of greater performance with a higher price, you would email that question or opinion to ocpodcast@gmail.com. That's ocpodcast@gmail.com.
Thank you for that. Yeah. No and problem. If you wanted to send us a tweet on the old Twitter, you would send it to at OC underscore podcast.
Da-da-da.
Yeah. And, yeah, I think that's pretty much it. So let's do some shout outs and get the heck out of here. Chris, lead it off first.
Lead it off. I don't have a lot of shout outs this week. I'm going to shout out anyone who played Red River with me this week. There were a few folks that got in there. Hell Patrol, John Mal 5, one of his friends whose name I forgot because I'm terrible. Corzan 06, Parsnip Nose. So we had some fun with the fire team engagements. They are challenging,
yeah.
Which is kind of frustrating. Frustrating and at the same time good. Yeah, and that's my shout outs. So I'm going to pass it to Earth, Mars, and Chin Chinny for being so cool. Your turn, Chin.
Yeah, I'm going to shout out Duke's Internet because he cut out when we was doing recording a podcast. I'll also shout out Lee Marsh, who's my best friend, best buddy, and no homo. Also,
best
shout out
friend.
BBF man. Also, shout out my Black Ops crew. I used to play Call of Duty with a lot of friends. I haven't spoken to them for a while, so I thought, you know what, I'm going to lend Call of Duty Black Ops again and play some games with them. And I did, and it was good, and we all had fun, and we all rejoiced. Also, I'll shout out to the Veteran Gamers competition. We had a competition going on the veterangamers.co.uk. You should go there. It's a great site. And where you go in, you draw stuff, and it's in jokes. Well, it's finished. It's the competition's
done.
Finished. Do you want to enter, Greg? Well, you can't because it's finished, right?
I had the best idea ever.
Yeah, well, yeah. Fuck that shit. yeah, we haven't picked a winner yet. But like, it will just stay tuned on veterangamers.co.uk. You'll see there, and you'll see honorable mentions. And if you get an honorable mention, you might get a code for a game. You never know.
Hey, speaking of that Black Ops crew, was that the same crew that I like mishappenly wandered into one of your Xbox Battle. Live parties?
Yeah.
And they were like, who the fuck is this?
Who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah.
They're okay. They're cool.
They were nice.
Yeah, they were okay. They're just like, they didn't know who it was. I had to vouch for you. They're like, he's with me, man. It's cool.
I never felt like I walked into, like, it was one of those things where you walk into the bar and everybody just turns and
everybody
looks
like,
at you.
Someone drops a drink.
Yep.
They're all right. And I just haven't spoken to them for ages. So I thought I'd play with them. Duke plays with them sometimes as well. He kind of got to know them. So, yeah, cool.
Cool.
Pass it on to you, Greg.
All right. Let's see. I want to do a big shout out to a bunch of people. GamerGirl27, Mosher Angel, CFox27, Super Starlist, who is not a girl, Bed Hairdo, The Stickman, Chipper Cipher, and D Cell Battery, and Maggie Man. Why? Just because. And in honor of Chipper Cipher and the upcoming NFL season, I thought I'd throw out a little quote from the Denver Broncos ex-coach Mike Shanahan. He's discussing his new quarterback. He said, he's done a great job with our players and with our players in general.
Yeah. Go team.
Boom. Done.
Done.
We're out of here.
Yeah. Let's go. Let's drop the mic. No, let's not drop the mic. We need it for next week. But let's go.
See ya.
Bye. Chris, say bye. Bye-bye. I could do it on a Mac. If it was on my Mac, I could play music for it. No problem. The same way Duke does it. But
yeah, but then you'd be all Skypey and shit and poor voice quality, just
like
Chris.
My Mac is for work. I try not to mix work.
I have not been Skypey in many moons, Gregory.
Many moons, would that be like 2 moons ago or 1 moon ago?
It'd be like
last week.
It'd be like ever.
Last week, hello. Is your memory that short?
Any problems that exist are on your end, Gregory.
Okay. That's fair. Well, again, we know this, but that's why I'm telling you ahead of time.
I don't appreciate your tone.
Oh dear!
Someone's having fun.
Yeah, it's getting like almost bedtime, so he's all wound up.
It happens.
Okay, well, maybe next week I'll come up with a solution for that.
Don't give me that back talk, Jive Turkey.
Listen, Jive Turkey.
All right, Chris.
I'm done. Paul,
sufficiently done and blown
I'm
up.
I'm ready
and,
to go, man. Dead. I'm waiting for you.
Hey, I'm waiting for Chinny.
I'm ready.
Are you sure?
No. But I can still play these sound effects through. Yeah, but the ones where I just can't talk.
Do it old school, man. Put like just turn it up really loud.
So anyway, Greg.
All right, keep looking for solutions. Let's do this thing.
Yeah,
let's
get this out of the way tonight.
Come on, man.
Come on, son.
She.
Faux shizzle. Wait, no.
No.
Silence is golden.
No, it's not. What do you want? You want me to turn this off? Okay. Done. Waiting on you, man.
I'm waiting for you guys to stop talking.
Wait. All right, sorry. Yep. Podcasts.
Dun, 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 dun.
Oh, yeah, that's me, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's try this.
Oh, my God.
Breaking the third wall. Fourth wall? Something like that.
We're breaking the law.
Breaking something. We broke it.
We broke Chinny.
It happens, Chinny.
Hey, so while we're having a break,
yeah.
So you know I like to make some barbecue, right?
Right.
Well, when you cook up a pork shoulder, that's 10 pounds of pork. And so you end up with some leftovers. And eventually you get tired of eating it, so you got to get creative with the leftovers.
Right.
So last night I made up some coleslaw, not like the mayonnaise coleslaw that you're used to, but like some coleslaw that's made with vinegar and soy sauce, so it has kind of an Asian flavor to it.
Real coleslaw.
Yes. So I mixed some of that with the pulled pork and then wrapped it up in egg rolls and fried them.
Nice.
It was delicious.
I can only imagine. All right. So news this week. Oh, Mike. I know you love PlayStation Home.
Sorry. I got a fuck-up banana.
All right, we'll start this again.
Unprofessional.
We'll start this again. Hang on.
Oh, no. Oh,
what?
A gold bar instead of a Twix? What the fuck? Oh, come on, Chris.
I'm just sending random texts now.
Oh my god. Jesus.
I hear you laughing at me, clowns.
Have you gotten any of my text messages?
No. On my phone?
Yeah.
No.
We've been sitting here listening to you for the past, I don't know, 10 minutes.
Yeah, I was upstairs, man. What?
You were upstairs?
Mm-hmm.
That has to be the shortest upstairs ever because, I mean, it seemed like we're just, like...
There's no wall or anything between here and up there.
Got it. So we heard about weight loss. We heard about...
You going somewhere Saturday around a friend's house.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then I heard the microwave, I think.
Yeah, it's making my dinner.
Gotcha.
An insight into Chris's life.
That's right. I hope you recorded all of it.
We did, actually.
Assholes.
If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Wheels are for old people.
Some talk about
too
RPGs.
Too many, some people say.
Come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.